A couple of things I'd like to point out before I give you a few of the highlights of the report that I issued December 24th of last year. The first is that at that time, although there were four responses to requests for expressions of interest, at that time there were two potential proponents who had indicated an interest in responding to an RFP. Since then, my understanding is that one of those proponents has dropped out, and accordingly, my report should be updated to that extent. So there's really only one potential bidder left in the running, which poses some potential problems, not necessarily problems, but potential problems, and perhaps reduces the competitive advantage for Partnerships VC in this process. I'm going to quote from the RFP itself. It's for a public-private partnership called a P3 project that will achieve a competitively priced, more effective facility that is superior in design, construction, and operation than that which would be provided through a traditional procurement process. And I refer back to some work that I did on this project in May of 2002, where I concluded that the findings of the initial evaluation, which was done, were not conclusively in favor of a P3 approach to the project. So among excuse me, among my general findings here, the project costs, excuse me, the project costs have skyrocketed since the initial evaluation in May 2002 due to significant changes in the project scope and changes in the financing. The construction costs have risen from projected $210 million to $286 million, and annual lease payments to the winning private party have skyrocketed from $20 million to about $39.7 million per year in each of the 30 years that the deal encompasses. Notwithstanding the ballooning in costs and scope of the project, my understanding is that there's been no further assessment of value for money to reevaluate the decision to proceed as a P3 rather than as a traditional procurement project. And that contradicts one of the essential requirements of a P3 project, that it demonstrate value for money for the taxpayer. The other thing is, we in the course of doing a little bit of financial analysis based on the RFP, we found that the government payments to Project Co., which is the private part of the private side of this project, are about $393 million in total, above the what we project to be the expenses and debt servicing costs of the private consortium, and we failed to get a good explanation as to why that was the case. Now, that's $393 million in absolute dollars. Needless to say, the present value of those dollars is somewhat less. The other thing that we found that was not clear from the RFP was the amount of risk that the successful bidder will assume from the public sector, and what value can be placed on the transferred risks. One of the other essential requirements, in addition to demonstrating value for money, is that a P3 project should provide an opportunity for various types of risks to be transferred from the public sector to the private sector. And certainly in this case, it's not clear as to what risks are going to be transferred and what they are worth in dollars. We believe that financing risk and ownership risk, which are two of the biggest, are likely to remain with the public sector for two reasons. One is that the RFP calls for an initial contribution of $71 million from the government, effectively. And secondly, that the private consortium will have nothing to provide as collateral for money that it borrows, because it will not own the facility. Accordingly, it will have to rely on government guarantees to obtain financing. One other point is that another requirement for successful P3 projects is that all stakeholders, key stakeholders, are involved in the project. And there's little assurance in the RFP that they are. And in fact, I'm told by Partnerships BC that certain stakeholders, including my client, the HEU, will likely not be involved and not be in the loop. And finally, the 30-year term of the project agreement, which is contemplated, means that the public sector is going to be doing a deal with a private provider, which will last 30 years. That could result, there's the potential that could result in a reduced competitiveness down the road, and because of a lack of ability to go back to the marketplace and take advantage of new developments and increase competition in the healthcare sector. So that pretty much covers the report. I won't go through any more of it at this point, but I'd be very happy to take any questions.